everyone, and welcome to Games Radar's final E3 podcast of 2013. I'm your host, Hollander Cooper. Here with me is
Tom Agrino,
Henry Gilbert,
Ryan Telchanik.
And it's going to be a quieter episode this time. We're a little less rambunctious than we were for the past 3 days.
Well, mainly because the hotel office called us last night and kindly asked us to please shut the fuck up.
They were super pissed,
they really
apparently.
They did do that.
I believe.
They're like, hey, we got about five complaints, noise complaints.
Did they really say they had that many?
Five isn't a particularly impressive number.
They said multiple. I just guessed.
Did they say multiple?
Yeah, we've had multiple noise
complaints.
Those
people can go fuck themselves. Let's be louder than ever.
We got to talk about video games, motherfuckers. We can't be quiet about it.
This is a hotel. Not a fucking nursery.
It wasn't even past midnight.
I mean, it was like 12:30.
It was like 11:45.
Plus, never mind. I'm not going to bring that up again.
What?
Something funny happened, and we couldn't contain ourselves.
Yeah. I was actually. I stopped myself from making that same joke.
Yeah.
But we're gonna wrap up this show right by going over our E3 awards and explaining what got what and for what reason. So
that's all. I mean, super. But as always, you know, we try and have fun with these kind of awards and not be super serious. There are, of course, obvious entries in this list, but you know. Try to be fun with it.
I've never been happier that you explained the joke in detail.
I don't know why I did it. It's the beer.
We've had a bit to drink. I'm not proud. Is that actually my beer over there? Can I ask you to retrieve that for me?
Not that one. The one behind the computer. There you go. Nope. Right, there you go.
That's
the one. You did it. Let's jump into
here
the first one.
All right.
It's the best game you heard nothing about. And the award goes to...
Murdered Soul Suspect.
Now, you saw this as well, right?
I got to see it today, and I got to say, I'm really excited for this
game. So it's current gen. It's one of the last big publisher. It's Square Enix publishing it. Current gen games that's coming out in 2014.
Yeah, which really surprised me because when I saw it, I was like, wow, that looks really good. And I guess I assumed that it was a PS4, Xbox One game.
Yeah.
But nope, it is current gen.
Made by Airtight Games. I believe they made Dark Void.
Boo. What? Well, it's by... the Kim Swift Portal creator,
that
her studio.
Yeah, they also made Quanta Conundrum. Yeah.
Right.
Is that who's making it?
I don't think she.
I didn't
I don't
look
she,
into it. At
I don't
all.
Think she's involved.
Are you sure? I thought this was her. I could be wrong. I thought this. Was
no,
her
I looked up the director
thing.
Is like some Japanese guy.
Oh, okay.
And what I read on Wikipedia, which is research.
Well,
I'm a journalist. Is that the developer said he was partially inspired when he was watching the movie Die Hard recently?
Oh.
And thought. What would have happened if John McClane died, but kept fighting anyway?
That's not a very good inspiration.
No, but it made for an interesting game. So in the game, it's Ronan O'Connor.
Yes, Ronan O'Connor.
Ronan O'Connor is a detective who is dead.
Yes, he gets killed at the onset of the game, and the entire goal of the game is to find out who your killer was and why... he killed you and what he was doing in the place that you
people
found
him. People keep comparing this game to Ghost Trick.
It's not Ghost Trick
right.
at all.
And
which,
yeah, so people were comparing it to Ghost Trick, and then you played it, and you're like, so I see what you did there, but nothing like
it. It's
that.
Like Ghost Trick because you play a phantom detective.
When right. somebody tries to describe it to you, it sounds like Ghost Trick, but it is more like, I would say, L.A. Noir.
It's L.A. Noir, except... So it's L.A. Noir's... like, you know the missions in L.A. Noir where you'd have to investigate a crime scene? Mm. It's that. But then instead
but
of going and...
Science.
Yeah, instead of going and interrogating them, you jump into the bodies of demons and explode them while phasing through the walls because you're a ghost.
Yeah, so... you are the ghost version of this guy, and you're in... And they called it Dusk World, which is like this
the
ghost...
The Dusk, I think.
Yeah, the Dusk. This overlay of, like, ghastly things that have happened in the past, and you can see... I mean, because they're kind of presented in this, like, glowy, obvious way that these are traumatic events that happened in the past. And those parts you can't walk through, but you can walk through walls and people in the actual real world. And you can possess people to try and, like, use them essentially as puzzle-solving mechanics. Like, you can possess people to read their notepads or do all these other kind of things to try and piece together what is happening in a crime scene. And then there are, of course, the action segments where you're... trying to escape from demons that are also inhabiting the same space as you, and they'll kill you unless you can possess them first and explode them from the inside.
Pretty much in like Matrix style, like
it's
Neo
really,
jumping
really
into
cool.
Agent Smith and blowing him up. It looks really cool. Yeah. And that's why it won. Runner-up was Arkham Origins, or Batman Arkham Origins Blackgate, which is made by, what's the name of the developer, Henry?
Jeez, I can't remember
the name of it. It's made of a bunch of ex-Rare people that worked on Metroid Prime. They wanted to make a Metroid Prime-style Batman game, or a Metroid-style Batman game, and that's just what it is.
Yeah, it's a lot, you know,
Armature Studios.
I wanted to get a chance at it. I did not, though. But I actually feel slightly more excited for it than I do for Arkham Origins.
Yeah, it's
after the C3.
It's pretty cool. Next up, the rumor we're happy that turned out to be true award, and it goes to Final Fantasy 15 specifically that Final Fantasy 15 is Final Fantasy Versus. They just renamed it.
Yeah, and it's funny because remember last year we posted an article about this, that there was that leaked video that was like, that showed it being rebranded as Final Fantasy 15. And everyone was like, that is fucking fake.
I still do say that's fake. Here's my reason.
Somebody just guessed very well.
Yeah, it was wishful thinking. Someone wanted it to be true.
Here's my thing, somebody had to have gone to great lengths to make a mock video that looked like it was recorded from like an iPhone or something.
But that's a really common way to fake videos at this point.
Then you don't have to harp on the details.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, it does include scenes from the game, and it does have the same Final Fantasy XV logo.
I mean, kind of irrespective of whether or not it's fake or not, it's totally true.
It is.
I will tell you how the guy could have done it. The footage from that trailer was all in the TGS footage that had leaked from like 2010. It was some of those scenes were redone in the 15 trailer that was actually existed. Then the guy takes those scenes, cuts them together, takes the Roman numerals that have been in a bunch of Final Fantasies, just Photoshop them over the logo. Get a college.
Henry. You know, I mean, we know how people fake stuff.
All right,
we know it was probably a fake.
I was just gonna let him go.
I have a lot of anger towards that being posted when I thought it was fake last year.
But long story short, it is true. And you know what? I think it is a very wise move.
It's a smart move and it's a brave move
because they need to separate that game from the 13 franchise because that series just nobody fucking cares
they,
about.
They tried to... The thing they did with 13 was like the definition of insanity. They're like, nobody liked Final Fantasy 13. What if we make another Final Fantasy 13? Fuck, that didn't work. What if we make another Final Fantasy 13?
Well, that's Voss's speech realized.
Like a 10 or something?
Well...
Yeah, we did.
Well, different... reviewers.
So runner-up on that was Mirror's Edge actually being at E3. Yeah. That was rumored for a few weeks. There were a bunch of
leaks. I thought it was
leaks.
A lot of wishful thinking. Like, I didn't think it was actually going to
happen. Well, it's very obviously, like, in the super early stages of even planning.
Kind of whipped up the CG
they just wanted
people... No, that trailer, I think, looked in-game.
Was it in-game?
It looked in-game.
But I do think, you know, they just wanted people to be like, look, we're listening to you, and you know what? We've gotten this a lot, so let's fucking do it.
DICE is working on at least 3 massive games right now.
Yeah.
They were just given a new studio, but still.
And it's funny to me that, I mean, people give EA a lot of shit, but they have a lot of great development studios.
And EA had a really good show.
Like, they did,
comparatively good show. Like, I was not expecting Battlefield 4 to look as good as it did.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of did fan service with the whole Mirror's Edge thing. That's
Need
good.
For Speed looked good.
Need for Speed.
Then there was
great.
The Battlefront announcement.
Yeah,
like, lots of cool stuff.
Yeah, very, very, very cool.
All right, so next on the list of, and this is our E3 awards, best Solid Snake impression.
Uh-huh.
Kiefer Sutherland.
Very you know good. What? He very sounded good. Really good.
Yeah,
like really
but
good.
It was he graveled up his voice like I'm Snake.
Well,
like that. But
so is David Hayter at this point just having like a psychological break?
No, he's, he's on Twitter, he's been taking it in stride, saying like, oh guys, I had a great run, thanks for all your support, you know, Keith is doing a great job, I don't begrudge him that.
The Keithmeister.
He's like new Coke.
Obviously, I mean, it must be tough for him in the sense that, you know, having been an active part of something that has become important to so many people for so long, obviously it's got to be this weird thing to not be involved in anymore, but... To Kiefer Sutherland's credit, he sounded really good, and he had the qualities of Snake's voice that I enjoyed, without the overdramatic,
the cartooniness.
Yeah.
So one question I have is how long are they going to be able to count on Kiefer Sutherland to be the voice of Snake?
There are like 5 years between games.
Well, exactly. Like, can they really commit to him being...
I don't think they have to.
Like, the same way that David Hayter became the voice of Solid Snake.
Making David Hayter the voice of Big Boss and Snake was a mistake, because they're not identical clones, and it confused the... Like, there's a bunch of clones of Big Boss.
So is Hayter still the voice of Big Boss?
No, what I'm saying is, like, they could get away with being like, well, we decided that Kiefer Sutherland voices Big Boss, but this next one is... Young Snake again, or a different Snake, and he's voiced by a different guy.
Yeah, I think it would have been a better move from the start to have at least slightly different voices for the variations, because otherwise, I mean, even some people who've played all the Metal Gear games are still often confused about the differences between Big Boss and...
I'm not entirely sure that's the reason why people are confused.
Well, I think their problem with 3 was
part of
that...
the reason, sure.
3 was just supposed to be... He's young and he's Snake, and they wanted it to just feel like Metal Gear, so it's Snake. They just cast Hayter in it, and eventually, like, Big Boss grows to be a different person than Solid Snake, but he's still stuck with the same voice. When Big Boss appears in Metal Gear Solid 4, it's a different voice actor.
Right.
Hayter is not doing him.
He sounds nothing like him.
I'd still say there's an outside chance of, like, 3 years from now, Solid Snake will appear in something, and it'll still be David Hayter.
Runner-up, though, to Best Solid Snake Impression, Aiden Pierce, protagonist of Watch Dogs.
Yeah, it almost, I mean, so you're going to notice some of these runner-ups are kind of throwaways. But Aiden Pierce in the demo for Watch Dogs this time, it almost sounded like he was doing the Batman voice from the Dark Knight movies, where he's just like,
Hang up your phone.
But he ended up just sounding like Solid Snake.
Quick. Turn off your cell phone.
I see what you do.
The government is watching you.
Dog. Player.
Yeah, I was hoping there'd be more to his story than just like, he's a vigilante. He just, you know, he beats people up, whatever. But I don't like that.
Next on the list. Well, I think there is going to be more on the list. They said that the reason there's like reasons he does it based on his past.
Is he an assassin?
No, I mean, probably. Next on the list. The best graphics for a Nintendo game.
A Wii U game.
A Wii U game. Well, no. We changed it to Nintendo game in general.
Yeah, that would be Mario Kart 8.
Mario Kart 8.
And you know what? That game looks fucking incredible.
That game looks better than anything on PS3 360 in terms of the actual visual fidelity.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was about time after the Wii U launched with games that were technically HD, but none of them were that impressive. Like, it felt like Nintendo, like, especially Nintendo Land.
Land gave you, like, a glimpse into the future. It had some things in it, some textures that you're like, this couldn't be done on other consoles. Yeah. But this game looks gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. It looks gorgeous. The stages are much more creative, too, like, compared to Mario Kart 7 or Mario Kart Wii. So, the increased graphics were worth it. And maybe it makes me a graphic whore to feel this, but after having games that, after having Mario Karts that never looked better than Double Dash for about a decade, it's nice to finally see an HD one.
Yes, and the runner-up, Super Mario 3D World, which looks fine.
Yeah, totally fine.
Looks like that one kind of just looks like an Xbox 360 game. But Nintendo's art style is so strong and their art direction is so impressive that when they make a game that looks like a Xbox 360 / PS3 game, it just kind of inherently is going to look more stylish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And more colorful.
Clear pipes.
Clear pipes. Oh, those amazing clear pipes.
The next award, the most awkward moment of E3, Assassin's Creed 4 crashing.
Was it the Sony
press conference.
That was painful.
Hard crashed. That wasn't like...
Well, not only did it hard crash, but for a solid 3 minutes before it finally hard crashed, it was stuttering like you would not believe.
And that's a franchise that is right now in a place where people don't necessarily trust it because the most recent entry was glitchy.
Very much
and
so, yes.
They couldn't even get their shit together for the biggest presentation they're ever going to have of it.
Yeah, that should have been its triumphant return to the stage. And like, no, you don't need to worry about Assassin's Creed, guys. It's still awesome. And then, yeah, it stutters, it stops. And I wonder if that's because it wasn't running on just a high-end PC, or were they running? Was that like, we're going to be honest? Is this the PS4 version?
Did anybody ever actually say anything?
Like, no. The reason this was such a fun, not awkward moment is because when it crashed, there's 30 seconds of the guy standing there, and then he just walks off stage. And not a single word is said.
Well, no, he stands there for like 10 or 15 seconds, and it fucking immediately cuts to Watch Dogs.
Yeah,
right. It was this weird, there was not even a mention that this, they weren't even like, we just had some technical
You know what they should have done? They should have been like, yo, flicker the screen, like make it flicker a bunch, right, and then have Watch Dogs come on, and we'll make it like Aiden Pierce hacked into this shit.
Oh man, yeah, and we probably would have totally just pretended like
think on your feet, guys.
Like the auditorium they were in was having problems with the big screen.
That's what Nintendo did.
Oh, really?
When Skyward Sword wasn't working at E3's press conference a few years ago, like 2 years ago, like Miyamoto or somebody was like, "Hey everyone, it's because of the interruptions from your cell phones," and it's just like, "No, it's
or
not."
Or some wireless.
They're like, "Somebody cut all the lights. We've had a blackout."
I mean, it was a very unfortunate thing, and if it was a software thing on Assassin's Creed, then I mean, we're a long ways out from launch yet. By long, I mean 5 months.
We're not that long out.
Yeah, we're not that far out. But we're really enough close. Time, you know, I think it'll be.
I mean, how,
not
they've,
doing
they've
that.
Earned how our
difficult
trust.
Is a hard crash to fix.
The runner-up, which is the next most awkward moment, is Battlefield 4 having a similar problem. Yeah. Except it wasn't this time. It was not their fault at all.
Right.
This was a.
It was just an audio.
Was it Microsoft press conference or EA?
It was Microsoft.
I think it was Microsoft.
Microsoft press conference. And they're showing off a.
I mean, yeah, so, like, earlier in that press conference, Crimson Dragons, the sound did not work. And
right.
And then Patrick Sutherland, or whatever his name is, hops up on stage, and I was like, all right, no sound.
He gave a speech first about the game, and he said, and I can't, and I guess, and now you're going to see it. And then it didn't work, he said, or maybe not. And then he got, like, a pissed off expression and turned and started to walk off stage. And then he stopped and turned around and said, oh, you want me to wait for it?
You want me to keep going? Okay. And he turns around, walks back on stage, says nothing until it finally works. And it was like, man, this is really uncomfortable.
When it
everybody
worked,
is
it
sweating
was triumphant.
Bolts. Yeah, it did.
But
yeah,
it didn't
was.
Work for a while.
Yeah, I was like sweating for that guy.
Oh, man. You can only imagine the frustration anybody who had those technical issues must have really felt.
Yes. So... Ugh. The next award, which I believe is Tom's favorite award, is the next two awards, actually. The most well-earned shit-eating grin goes to...
Oh, good God, Jack Tretton deserved this one.
He's been through so much.
He's been through so much. Just like all of the shit that the PS3 went through, 2006,
he had to pretend that home was okay.
2008. And he would just get up on the stage at E3, at CES, at other big shows, and he would just fucking take it, you know?
He would just lie.
He wouldn't lie at all. He'd just be up there and he'd be telling self-deprecating jokes about how his shit is broke and how, you know, things
or
could be so much better.
In 2010, he, like, apologized for the hack.
Yeah, like, that guy has just gotten kicked around. And then for him to just... My heart, which is always a shriveled and dry thing, just was bursting with actual
and not even, and it was funny, because for as happy as I was about the announcement itself, so it happened specifically when he announced the place, it says, supports used games, and he says, the PlayStation 4 supports used games. Everyone starts cheering and chanting PlayStation, I think, or Sony, and he kind of looks around, like, sort of surprised at the reaction, like, and then... He has this. He cracks a small smile, and then it becomes a big smile, and he starts wringing his hands. Yeah. And then
it was cure. It was clearly an anxiety emotion.
Yeah. And
he's
then
like, you guys love me.
And
I don't understand.
And then he does what any person in that situation would do, and throws his hands to the side, to as if to say, "Give it up for me.
Yeah.
Like, throw your panties at me, ladies. I am your god now." Well, and he has, his grin grew so big that he actually, I saw him later, he has a permanent Joker smile now.
Yeah.
It ripped his mouth off.
Well,
he is ruined.
Well, and so then he like soaks in the applause and he smiles. And then he goes, and we're not going to have online check-ins right. to make sure.
You don't have to go online with our system, and you don't have to check in every 24 hours either. Felt like he might have just gone, like, I felt like he was going to take it too far.
And
I just fucked in Don Matrick's mother. What are you thinking? Like, I expected him to just keep going until it got uncomfortable.
You chicken in every pot.
Like, you can imagine being a head of a company that makes decisions that you know are dumb, mm-hmm. right? For a long time, you know that these decisions are stupid, but it's your job to present this to the public and pretend that you're cool with it and that it's awesome, and you can't do anything about it. And for them to finally make really good decisions and you be able to be like, yeah, fuck you guys. you can only imagine that has to be such a powerful moment for this guy. And, you know, and it's cool to see him have that after having had to deal with a lot of admittedly not so great things for a while.
I was just totally feeling awesome for Jack.
Yeah, and absolutely.
What did we do with the runner-up? Was it the PlayStation video?
Oh yeah, just Shuhei Yoshida and I think it was Patrick House or what's that?
Andrew House.
Andrew House.
Yeah. In the tutorial.
This is how used games work.
They both just are smiling like assholes.
And I love, and it was such a great video because it was brief and to the point. He hands off a used game.
Backstage.
Yeah. He hands off a used game to House. Was it Yoshida hands off the used game to House?
Yeah.
And
I'm not sure it was House. It was some white guy.
And he goes, here you go. And he goes, wow, thanks. And then the video ends. Yeah. It's like, that's how you're
smiling at the camera.
Yeah. That's how you share a used game on the PlayStation 4.
It was beautiful.
Everybody was like, incredible.
They didn't twist the knife. The knife was spinning so fast on its own accord that it tore a hole.
And the only reason why all of this worked is because Microsoft shit the bed.
Yes.
Which brings us to our next award.
The shit the bed award. An award that I really hope we continue yearly. Goes specifically just to Don Matrick.
Yeah, and we've already talked about this a lot last night, where Don Matrick just does the smuggiest of smuggy asshole moves. And it's just like, you can't connect to the internet? Well, we've got something for you. It's an Xbox.
I just glanced, I haven't read what you wrote for it, and I just glanced down and just skimmed it real quick, and the last words are smug asshole.
Yeah. I mean, what else could it be? Yeah, it was nothing.
It was an epic
you don't have connection to the internet? You can use our machine that's been out for 7 years.
I actually, did you guys watch the news today? No. There was a story about the hotel that all of the Microsoft executives are staying in, overflowing with shit. From how much bed-shitting they did. Pouring out the window.
I believe that for a sec.
They had to bring in fire trucks to hose out the building because there was so much shit in the beds.
Clean out all of the shit.
They thought about just burning the building down.
You know,
but then it would have just caused a horrible, horrible...
And as we just said too, like when you're working for a company and you know that it's making bad decisions, like you know some of these people at Microsoft are like, oh fuck,
this is bad.
Yeah, and you kind of feel for them, you know.
There's got to be some executive in there going like, I told you so, and 2 years ago when you presented this idea for the Xbox project,
I
said this.
I imagine a guy in a conference room slamming the table in front of Don and be like, damn it, Don! I fucking told you that this would not work and people would revolt, and now it has.
And then you know what happened? Don Matrick pulled out his cell phone. He has an iPhone, by the way. Uh-huh. Even though he works at Microsoft, he goes to the Photos app, he flips back through new photos, puts the photo on the table and it's a picture of his bed covered in shit. And then he sits back down quietly, as if nothing happened. And then the guy says, "What is this?" And he flicks to the next one and hits play because it's a video, and it's a video like Paranormal Activity style of him getting up, going to the bathroom, coming back, and then shitting
and
in the
then
bed.
Shitting in the bed.
Yeah,
just up on the mattress.
There's a time lapse.
Pants.
It takes a while. Yeah. He's just kind
There's
of.
There's no one else in the room.
No, it doesn't even look like his room.
No, it probably is.
It's just.
I think he probably broke. It's in like their Steve Ballmer's room. He's like, you know what? I love you a lot.
It wasn't broke in. He was staying
in
Steve Ballmer's guest house. Yeah. He's shit in the bed. Next award. The most amazing game we saw behind closed doors and can't tell you about for several years.
Man, that game is awesome.
And we can't tell you about
Sorry. I wish we could mention anything about it. Other than it's a game you've been wanting for a while.
We've seen the comments.
Yeah.
You're excited.
But the embargo is a ways out.
The embargo, I think, I have it written down. It's actually July 5th, 2017.
Uh-huh.
But
You're going to be stoked.
You're going to be losing your Half-Life about it. I can't even... I'm excited. But let's move on to the next award.
Next award.
Biggest fan pleaser, Kingdom Hearts 3 being announced.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who saw
mm-hmm.
this coming?
Yeah, I thought they would just never do it.
That was me, because it was like, released so many handheld games, and they all sold well. It was almost to me like, you know how like Assassin's Creed did well, and then Assassin's Creed did well, and Ubisoft just went like, we're just making yearly Assassin's Creed games. Like, this is our business. I almost felt like Square was like, you know what? Handheld Kingdom Hearts sell well. They cost a tenth of the cost of a console one. Let's just keep doing it.
Yeah.
We don't need to make a console one. This one will do well enough.
Mm-hmm.
But Sora...
Full-on Kingdom Hearts 3.
Comes out with a hard-on, picks up that Keyblade, rubs it on it.
Just his nuts are just a-swinging.
They're dragging on... The sand effects, by the way. He's walking in the sand. The sand effects of the sand being parted as his nuts get dragged through it. That is next-gen to me.
So this was after, like, they just skipped...
It bothers me to think about, like, the anatomy of A, Sora, but B, Mickey Mouse.
Like, and both of their nuts dragging through the sand.
Like, the idea of Mickey Mouse having just, like, a hairy ball sack.
Well, I mean, it would be hairy.
Just a ball sack with his mouse.
I bet he shaves. What the fuck? I bet Minnie makes him shave.
You think he manscapes?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, you're a loser.
Mousescapes.
He mousescapes. Mouse. He's a celebrity.
Does he manscape with an electric razor or...
The Keyblade. No. Keyblade.
Oh, he fucking shaves with the blunt edge of his Keyblade.
Yeah.
Because he's fucking Sora.
He's got a thick.
We're talking about Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse can fucking shave his nuts with Sora's hair.
Yeah.
Look at that hair. That shit's sharp.
It's like a threading kind of thing. Have you seen those? Like,
we move on to another award.
So it's like threading your eyebrows, only using Sora's hair.
Threading your eyebrows?
Yeah.
Like when you go to the mall and they have like stands where they do it.
So Mickey Mouse will take some
Sora's hair.
Hey,
fun fact, I had my ear pierced once, for what that's worth.
What?
I had my ear pierced once.
Really?
At
Claire's.
You look like the type.
I did it, and it was. I had this little ball in my ear for like 2 days, and I said, this isn't working out.
Well, I can see you doing like...
I wanted to get the hoops.
Yeah.
One time I tried to convince my mom that I should dye my hair a light purple, like Trunks from Dragon Ball Z.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dude, I don't blame you. I wanted to be Trunks.
Really?
I was really
wanted to get a red leather jacket like Tyler Durden, and those happened at the same time, so if I would have had my way, there'd be pictures of me with a red leather jacket. And parted purple hair.
I used to have a haircut like Trunks.
Really?
Until a kid I went to school with one time told me, you know bowl cuts? Those were invented by gay people because they're shaped like the head of a penis.
Wow. I didn't know
and
that.
I was like,
that guy.
Well, that's weird. And then I never wore a bowl cut again.
That's homophobic of you.
I mean,
mainly because I just look retarded with a bowl cut.
Yeah.
I can see that.
That's anti-Semitic.
Those two statements were unrelated. It just thought it was a good segue into the second, I guess. I don't know.
Your segue into the runner-up being Mega Man, whose helmet appears on his head like the helmet
of a penis.
During the trailer for Smash Brothers.
He's got a sweet-ass haircut.
He does have a nice haircut. He hides it. Hides it under a helmet, but be proud of your mane, bro.
I would kill for that kind of
he
hair.
Goes without
I'd kill
a helmet,
for any hair. I'm bald.
I want to say, for the record, he's taken off his helmet a lot of times.
I know, but not in-game enough.
Maybe. But, we already freaked out about this before, but yeah.
Pretty, it happened. Be happy.
Pretty awesome.
On that same note, the biggest shocker... Don't do anything with the word shocker. I'm
going to ignore that word this time.
Biggest shocker that we were literally told about several months ago, Super Smash Brothers being at E3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it was their January Nintendo Direct where Iwata says, so at E3 this year is new 3D Mario, Mario Kart, and a Smash Brothers screens. They'll be at E3. And then about a month ago, he reconfirmed that. And a week ago, he's like, there's going to be the trailer for Smash Brothers. Like,
and then they had the trailer, and we were like, no!
Yeah!
I don't believe it!
They had the trailer, and then we had our roster story, and that roster story paid for our trip to E3.
It went well.
It was really cool, though, seeing that trailer, and then everybody losing it, especially at the mention of Mega Man being in the game.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome.
And the other thing on there, the runner-up, is The Last Guardian not showing up at E3. Because Sony has been saying for months, they're like, no, you're not going to see anything from The Last Guardian. You just have to deal with that. You need to move on with your nerdy asshole lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we
it's
should.
A quote from Jack Tretton. He's a new man now, but. Yeah.
Fucking nerds, give it up.
We need to pretend Last Guardian was never announced.
Yes.
Just move on.
Next on the list, the best double act of E3 goes to
Aisha Tyler and Yves Guillemot. How do you say his name?
Yves
Guillemot.
So one
during the Ubisoft press conference.
One is a short Frenchman.
Very
one
is, he's probably like 5 foot nothing.
One is an 8 foot tall
one
goddess.
Is an Amazonian goddess.
Yes, yeah. And together, like they came out.
They were the odd pair.
In the ads before, they put out a couple teasers for this press conference. How they announced Aisha Tyler was going to be the host of it. And they were like these weird, funny, these cute phone conversations between her and Yves. So I think they were like, oh, they're a funny pair. Let's put them on stage together. When they come out on stage, like, you're not waiting for their banter. You're just looking at them and like, she's 2 feet taller than this guy.
I feel like it's more than that. She looked like she was double his height.
My favorite part, though, is the fact that it was so comedically obvious that she had to acknowledge it. Like, she couldn't ignore
She's
it.
She's just like, yeah, I know, I'm a giant.
Because
like,
the entire audience is giggling.
Like a good comedian, she recognizes what the audience is laughing at.
I think
at
Greg kept saying she expected, when she left the stage, for her to pick him up and carry him like a baby off the stage.
Yeah. I mean, it was even more highlighted by, like, the ridiculous angle that the...
The camera was...
And she had on, like, 9-inch heels.
I wish she had picked him up and carried him off. That would have been my favorite thing.
The camera shot was almost like how you would film a Godzilla movie. Like, down from the feet and making him look...
Yeah, there was definitely a perspective issue.
That's crazy.
Oh, boy, it was good.
And the runner-up is LeBron James talking to virtual LeBron James at Sony's E3 press conference. Which was pretty entertaining. So the next one on the list, which we had to fight for this one because there was a descending group that didn't want us to even acknowledge this, but the most offensively hilarious fart joke goes to South Park, the Stick of Truth.
Now, to be fair, I understood the reason why people were like, maybe we should avoid this because you're equating a fart joke to a traumatic event that killed an immense amount of people.
But the added tastelessness of referencing Nagasaki, I like, is extra. That makes it more funny to me, I think. Like, it's because it's wrong too.
I mean, it wasn't like, even a bomb joke. I guess it was bomb in the sense of a fart, but it was more just like the motion that's
it was more almost people. Like racist of just how Japanese
than
people react to things
of the war.
But it was fun.
Irrespective, it was wildly inappropriate.
Also, that trailer, on top of the Nagasaki reference, like he then Stan's dad, Randy Marsh, then farts on a kid and then starts punching and kicking him.
Which is hilarious really because we've all wanted to do that to some fucking kids before.
Yeah.
You know.
And then the end of the trailer ends with Cartman acknowledging how many times this game's been delayed and how maybe it won't even be this holiday season.
Yeah, it's going to come out this holiday or next holiday. Just some holiday at some point. You know how video games.
Yeah. I do really appreciate our runner-up choice for this being the general smell of the show floor at E3. Because, and you know, this didn't really hit me until today. And today,
really?
It fucking punched me straight in the nostril holes. Because we were walking through one of the halls, and all of a sudden I was like, what is that? Oh my god, what is that smell? It is BO. Yeah. Like, the worst smelling BO I think I've ever had the pleasure of smelling.
Also,
so E3 is bad, but I still maintain that CES is worse.
Comic-Con you think CES is, the worst? Is worse?
Comic-Con's the
really?
Worst.
Comic-Con?
Comic-Con's the worst. There's more people, there's less press.
I don't doubt that Comic-Con is worse.
Of miasma of just awful.
See, CES, I rarely ran into any of this, but today, there was VO so overpowering that I was stunned for a second or two. It was astonishingly awful.
Also, so we don't have our normal setup, so this is going to be a little weird, but I'm going to try it anyway.
I'm going to teach you a fart called the Nagasaki. It's called the Nagasaki because if you do it right, it makes people go, ooh!
It is the the best joke ever.
I thought for a second Tom was making that noise because that's the noise he always makes when talking about Japanese people.
That might be one of my favorite trailers. It is such a good South Park joke.
Oh, like, man.
I'm surprised that wasn't in an episode yet.
Yeah. I'm glad they're not saving their best material. They're actually putting it in games.
All right. Next entry. Coolest game we know absolutely nothing about goes to Sunset Overdrive.
Microsoft's press conference, they announced probably a really big get for them in the exclusive area. They get
Insomniac,
who had published a ton of games with Sony, only Sony, put out Fuse for a bunch of consoles, and now we're back to being a console exclusive, I guess.
They must really like that marketing money.
Yeah. But they had a good target footage video or preview or whatever, and then Ted Price came out and said like all the correct buzzwords about multiplayer focused on the cloud, open world, but he didn't really tell you that much about it. Like, I wonder if there even is much to know about it. Does it have a story? Is it an only?
It like looks a lot like Brink. The trailer looks like the Brink trailer.
Well, and I think we said this on the first night. You know, it reminds me a lot of the reveal trailer for Overstrike,
which was such a good trailer that ended up being nothing like the game.
So I'm really curious to see.
I think that, I'm hoping the difference is EA, obviously. EA is a company that has a lot. They put a lot of faith in focus testing.
Mm-hmm.
And this would, like, they deny it, but Fuse/Overstrike looks like a game that was going in one direction, got focus tested a bunch. People were like, oh, I don't like the cartooniness. And then EA was like, if you want your paycheck, you're going to toe the company line and make it a generic shooter. And now that they're not held to those standards, they might do better. That said, I don't know if Microsoft is a better.
I think it will be, honestly. I feel like it could be, at least.
We'll see if Microsoft lets them stay the course on this idea or not.
And the runner-up is 1886, which I know had a subtitle.
Order.
The Order.
1886.
The Order 1886, which was shown off at the Sony press conference. Mm-hmm. Made first console game, full-fledged console game by Sony Santa Monica, is it? No. Ready at Dawn.
Ready at Dawn, right.
So,
we already talked about that.
Yeah, too. Looks interesting.
Very interesting.
Next award, the Great Shot Now Don't Get Cocky Award, goes to Star Wars Battlefront for two reasons. Number one, it's a Star Wars reference. Number two, probably shouldn't get too excited because that video, that like 12-second clip of Hoth, is likely all of the non-written existence of that game right now.
That was probably the remnants of a game 3 games ago that got canceled.
Well, I mean, consider how long ago was it that EA got rights to make Disney?
It was Star Wars. It was only a few months.
Yeah, so they haven't had time to do shit with this license.
They have a design document in the works.
Yeah, this game is non-existent at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm surprised they even showed that much. Truth be told,
I thought it was a good move on their part. I think,
to generate
some excitement for that.
The big news that they
have, they're going to have a lot of time to generate.
Well, after the
it's going to be in the it's going to be in development for.
When they got the Star Wars franchise, like everyone wanted their Star Wars game immediately. They don't want to wait 2 years to see it, even though that's what they're going to end up doing. So I can understand why they at least like fast tracked. Just a Star Wars teaser.
When's new episode supposed to come out? 2015?
2015, summer 2015.
So about 2 years from now?
About, yeah.
Almost exactly 2 years from now?
So next year we'll see playable Battlefront.
Normally they only do tie-ins for when they...
Not tie-in, but like... I bet you they'd love it if this game came out within 6 months of the movie. That'd be really... Because... Hey, there's a good battle. There's like a new Star Wars game that came out. It's like, you know how they've been doing that? They've been doing that loose tie-in stuff more recently.
Yeah.
I bet you they aim for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. So the runner-up for that was... It's not written down here. Does anyone remember? Next entry. Best Call of Duty game goes to Titanfall. So Titanfall...
Say no more. I don't even think you need to say
and that. The runner-up is Call of Duty Ghost. The best Halo game... goes to Destiny.
Right. Yeah.
Runner-up is the new Halo. The best game we're worried might be canceled is The Division.
Yeah, don't want that game to be canceled. Yeah. Because I finally got to see it today.
Tom Clancy's The Division.
And holy shit, that game looks really, really
It
good.
Just looks like every game I've ever seen that I got way too excited for and then never ended up materializing.
Yeah, yeah, I have that same sense about it myself.
Like, it's an MMO third-person shooter that's sort of like Borderlands.
Yeah, I definitely have not seen enough of this game, or at least I personally have not seen enough of this game.
I wasn't convinced until I saw the demo today, too, and I agree with John in that... it is probably the best looking game I saw at E3.
Yeah,
really.
Like, unbelievable level of detail in that game. It was really, really surprising to me how crazy good it looked.
And it was the only demo. I mean, a lot of companies would show a demo, the same demo they showed on stage, and it was kind of annoying when they did that. But I wasn't upset when they did it because they explained stuff so much better when they showed it the second time. And I'm like, I actually know exactly how this game works right now.
Yeah,
and they did a good job, like showing what, like explaining what the map meant and stuff. And the runner-up is Star Wars Battlefront for obvious reasons, because Battlefront has been canceled like 5 times.
Yeah, right.
Next up, best cosplay: Master Chief cosplaying as a character from Destiny.
We were so convinced. We were going to be seeing something other than Master Chief.
Well, and Coop already told this story too. Yeah. You know, like,
why the fuck is he wearing a coat?
He goes, guys, I bet it's Master Chief. And guess what? It was fucking Master Chief.
You were so upset.
I was, I was. I was like, please don't let that. Oh, it is. Okay.
Runner up: Mario cosplaying as a kitty cat.
Mm hmm. I love his cat powers. I don't know.
No, that you love cat powers. That cat costume cat is amazing.
That's a singer, right?
And I love on stage, and I love what it lets you do. It's so cool.
I'm surprised she hasn't actually killed herself yet.
Jesus. Okay.
She's just always so depressed.
What the fuck are you talking about? I'm
talking about cat power. Right?
The wall climbing abilities are really neat, and it's hard to believe they never dressed him up like a cat before.
It made so much sense.
Yeah.
Best use of lab rats. Tiny Brains. Has anyone in this room played it?
Nope.
I saw. I wrote up the slide for it in the PS4 games.
People really like it. That's all I can say.
And the runner-up is Mickey Mouse in Castle of Illusion HD.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, that game doesn't look so great. But it's not...
We were really reaching for that runner-up.
My biggest annoyance with that game is that Mickey won't shut up. It's like super... It's like Mario Game Boy Advance ports of classic Mario games, because they added his ability to talk to it, and so he just goes, woohoo, yeah, alright, like, and then this one Mickey goes, aha, uh-huh, oh, oh,
I love Mickey Mouse's voice though.
I didn't know you were that good at Mickey Mouse impressions.
What's this over here?
Can you talk about shitting the bed in the Mickey Mouse voice?
Oh no, I shit the bed.
This is the best day of my life.
And it's not just him talking either. There's a narrator of the game too. I guess like Bastion, who goes like, Mickey wasn't sure what was in this room, but maybe he'd find that Jack in the Box he was looking for.
Why was he looking for a Jack in the Box?
It's
actually a euphemism. He wanted to masturbate.
Maybe he'd find that Jack in the Box he was looking for.
Why did you just repeat that?
I was going to try to make a joke, but then I realized it would be
next
really bad.
Next entry, the best next gen game, Eve VR.
Holy shit, that game was amazing.
So I played it today also.
It's a tech demo. It's not a game.
It's a
prototype of an idea.
It works though. It's a multiplayer shooter. It's a tech demo, but technically it's one level of like an arena shooter technically.
So it's using the Oculus Rift with Eve Online assets to make a spaceship simulator multiplayer battle.
Yes.
Where you're flying a ship in space.
You have an Xbox controller in your hand with very limited controls.
Yes, and you can look around your cockpit and you can, you know, like... It's like, it reminded me a lot of the movie Top Gun, where they're looking out the cockpit in the back and trying to see, like, oh, where's the bogey? And you can see everywhere.
Pronounced boogie.
Bogey.
I'm joking.
Bogey. Yeah. Anyways, you can see everywhere. Like, if you look up, you just see out into space, and it's really, really cool. And
It's useful as is, but the addition they have is if you hold down the left trigger...
A targeting
reticle appears, and if you like look out the right of your ship and see a ship, it'll lock on and you can let go without actually moving your ship.
Yeah, so the targeting reticle is linked to the Oculus Rift's tracking system, so when you look left, the targeting reticle follows your line of sight. And if you stare at an enemy ship for like a second and a half, it locks on. You release the trigger and missiles fire at that ship and you blow it up.
Yes.
And it's like a super, super fun multiplayer battle. And it's the first time I've like I've tested the Oculus Rift a couple times now. This was the first time I tested a game on it where I was like, this makes so much sense, and it's so crazy to me that this exists.
I tried really hard to get motion sick in it, because when I played a few other demos on the Oculus Rift, and every time I ended up getting motion sick just by itself. Mm-hmm. I held down so my ship would go up, and I just kind of like rolled my head in circles trying to get myself motion sick. Couldn't do it.
Yeah, it legit felt like I was in a fucking spaceship flying around. It was the coolest thing I've seen in a long time, and I was really happy I got to see that there.
Yeah.
Especially since there was like no like real big advertising for to come check this game out.
Word of mouth though, everyone was talking about it.
Yeah.
CCP doesn't have that kind of money either.
No. They were hiding away.
Yeah.
Next entry, best reach around. Goes to Tearaway, and I think the best way to do this one is just to...
Read the entry.
Want me to read it?
Yeah, read it.
All right. We've always wondered how tickling the Vita's rear would translate into a worthwhile gaming experience. We've just never been confident enough to ask. Now, thanks to Media Molecule's Tearaway, we finally have an idea. This unbearably adorable 3D platformer will have you thrusting your fingers through holes in the world via the back touchpad, creating new platforms for your paper character to ascend. It's a surprisingly pleasing sensation. Trust us. Give it a try.
I think that's my favorite part of this entry is when you use the phrase unbearably adorable.
And the runner-up was Killer is Dead.
Gigolo mode. Which we talked about on last night's podcast.
I want to add something that Gigolo mode was so, like... such a big deal when we saw it. I completely forgot the other awesome thing about that game in the demo we saw, that you ride a motorcycle chasing a guy who's riding a tiger. And then once that chase ends, the tiger turns out to be a tattoo of his that came to life. And then the
like the illustrated half, man.
And then the top half of the tiger comes to life on top of his body and you fight the two of them.
That was really, really cool.
That was great.
That is wonderful.
As an aside.
Next entry, best Freudian slip was when the wargaming guy told us to command our tanks.
Except he said, come on your tank.
Yes.
Come on your tank.
Come on your tank.
You want to download this for free and play? You everyone get online and come on your tanks.
And it's just like what?
And he had the biggest, he actually should have been a runner-up for Shit Eating Grin. I mean, he had a big smile.
Because that guy, he's just like, I am having orgasm after orgasm.
Well, because in his head he was thinking, I was a millionaire, now I'm a trillionaire.
Yeah. Yeah. He is super happy.
He just wanted everybody to be excited too. Right. He's like, I'm so excited for this.
I just want you to come on your tank.
Coming on tanks is all I do.
Speaking of coming on tanks, game of the show from Games Radar for E3 2013, Battlefield 4.
Yeah,
how did that happened.
So all right.
Well, I mean, we played it and we came on tanks.
I know.
All right. I mean, I suspect a lot of people will say, "Come on, that's too mainstream a choice. That's
and
too
believe
obvious."
Us, we feel that way
but,
too.
And we were searching for something else. We really were. But you know what? Playing that fucking game for an hour was the coolest thing I've done in a long time.
Never seen a developer more confident in their game.
Yeah.
It was polished beyond belief considering it's months away from launch. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's essentially a good, really healthy cross between Battlefield 3 and Bad Company 2 in that it's got, even though it's got some, the map we played was an urban map, but it was a mix of some of the close quarter stuff that you saw in Battlefield 3, but also some of the wider open environments that you saw in Bad Company 2 with plenty of vehicles, and it was amazing looking, and the map kept changing depending on which buildings you brought down, and let's not forget, the elevator... you could ride the elevator to the top of a skyscraper, and that fucking thing collapsed. No joke. That was a real deal thing that happened in the matches we played.
Also, this year was a console year. Like
it was more of a hardware year.
This was about launching two new consoles this year, so that they had definitely support from games, but I feel like, well, Gears the first Gears showed pretty well in 2006, mm-hmm. but I don't think it was until like Assassin's Creed in 2007 where everybody went, whoa, this is next gen. Awesome.
Meanwhile, I mean, this game is also supposed to be coming out on current gen, so I don't know how it's going to handle this shit. But
ooh, yeah,
no
question.
Buildings will fall in the PS3 360.
Yeah, but I mean, this was we made a list of the most shocking, most amazing moments at E3, and all of them were like, this guy said this, this guy said this, this person announced this. The only thing that was actual game was that motherfucking building falling down.
And come on, like, even if you're not a Battlefield person, like, you have to admit, that was some cool-ass shit that happened, and there's no other game that's happened yet.
And that they did that with 64 players at 60 frames per second. Like,
the game was playable all weekend with 64 players, and they streamed it all to Twitch. That's how Twitch viewers are. They're going to scrutinize every moment. They were so confident. They're just like, go play.
And let me also say this: like, when that building comes down, it's not just the building's gone now. Like, it collapses in such a way that it affects a very large portion of that map. And like, rubble spills across streets that used to be accessible, making them inaccessible. Dust floats through, making certain parts like very hard to see in, and it changes your range, your field of vision. Like, it affected the map in such a substantial way.
What I'm interested,
like, really, really powerful.
There were other really, really big fucking buildings in that map.
I'm curious if those can also be shot down.
I really hope at this point
we don't know.
Because otherwise I don't want that building coming down to be
the building thing.
Yeah, like, each level has one big set piece that can be destroyed. It's like, if that building can come down, every building needs to be able to come down.
Yeah, and to be fair, like, I was testing this as much as I could when I was playing on the PC build that they had. And every time I would play as an engineer, I would run into the nearest building and shoot out a wall with a rocket launcher to make sure. Because in Battlefield 3, it was very much a scripted kind of thing versus Bad Company 2's every building can be destroyed.
Right.
And I ran through every building I could. I think I encountered one wall out of all of the walls that I shot, which were several, with a rocket launcher. Only one of them did not immediately burst open and allow me a new path to run through. So I was, you know what, I'm currently pretty, at least with that specific map and what I saw, I was very happy with
it. Yeah, like, we thought about giving it to Smash Brothers, but we didn't really see much of Smash Brothers.
And we almost gave it to The Division.
The Division, but the same thing. We just don't know enough about that game. Yeah. But this game, it was the fact that it was hands-on, it was the fact that the developers were crazy confident, and for good reason.
Yeah, it played amazing. And if you are a Battlefield fan, there's no doubt in my mind that this is probably going to be the best one you've ever played.
And it's coming out soon, so you don't have to wait, like, 5 years to play it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Before long.
I didn't play it, but it looks great in the Microsoft thing, and everybody who played it could not stop talking about it.
Oh, yeah. So that is Games Radar's Game of E3 2013. You can check out the site for articles about that and plenty more. Thank you so much for listening to our E3 podcasts.
All your support throughout this crazy show.
Every single night we'd get back at like 11 and be like, we're excited to talk about games, but fuck, we're tired. And we did them just because of the support of the community, reading the comments, reading people on Twitter and Facebook. Thank you so much for forcing us and keeping us awake. And
I'm like falling asleep.
Tom, I would also like to say
real quick too, if you have any questions about a specific game, we saw almost everything at E3. Let us know in the comments, and we will do our best to answer any specific questions you have about anything at the show.
Do it in the comments. Send us a tweet at GR Radio Radar. Post on our Facebook. Send an email to us at...
RegH?
No, I was going to say, we have Radio Radar at GamesRadar.com.
We do have that. Don't worry.
Get in touch with us individually on Twitter. I'm at Hollander Cooper.
Ryan Teljanek.
HENEREYG on Twitter.
You're not going to answer your Twitter.
No.
GR Radio Radar.
TeamAgrino@futureus.com.
Yeah, just get in touch with us however you want. We'll answer any questions we can. And if we don't have answers, we'll try to find someone who can.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you so much for your support. We will be back to our regularly scheduled episodes next week. This week, we're sorry, we're not going to do one on Friday. We've done We've given you like five hours.
No excuses.
Fine, we're doing
one.
You
don't get one on Friday.
You're fine.
You people.
And next week, we're probably going to end up doing a bonus episode. Who knows?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it'll be Poke Radar. Maybe it'll be Animal Crossing Radar.
I am so not.
We have to get Tom to join that because his reaction to our Animal Crossing discussions and the van rides to E3 are my favorite thing.
Somebody showed, you know how I told you can change like the characters' catchphrases?
Yeah.
Sometimes their catchphrases are said at the beginning of a sentence, and somebody posted on Twitter that they changed their catchphrase to "Sup, biatch." So every time this lion walks up to this character, she's like, "Sup, biatch!"
What a rude duck.
It's a rude duck. Talk to you later. Thanks for listening.
Bye.